has come before the Lord. Our God, we give thanks this morning again for our Redeemer. Oh, how sweet to call him mine. We do give thanks that Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. We thank that he's our Redeemer. He's our Savior. He's our friend. We do give thanks for thy word this morning, O God. We thank thee that it is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We pray as we turn its holy and ancient pages this morning, we pray that it would shine before us. Pray that thou would give us the finest of the wheat. We pray that thou would give help and bless this morning in our Saviour's name. Amen. I want you to turn, please, this morning to the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua. And chapter 1, the book of Joshua. And chapter 1. Book of Joshua in chapter 1 and verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. So there was a great tragedy here. No, Moses had died. He'd went the way of all the earth. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, towards the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swore unto your fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Now I want you to turn over to chapter 24. That's the beginning of Joshua's life. And we're turning to chapter 24. A few short years has come and has gone. And we come to chapter 24. And it says, farewell speech to the children of Israel, to God's people. Joshua chapter 24, verse 1. And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, and called for the elders of Israel, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the river, the flood, in the old time, even Terah and the son of Abraham, and the father of the Nachor, and they served other gods. And they took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood, and led him through the land of Canaan, and multiplied his seed, and give him Isaac, and Isaac, Jacob, and Esau, and give unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. Look at verse 13. And I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye did not build, and ye dwell in them, of the vineyards and olive yards, which he planted, not to you. Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the sea, the Euphrates, and in Egypt, and ye serve the Lord. And if it seem unto you to serve the Lord, choose ye this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Verse 29. And it come to pass after these things that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of the inheritance of Timnath-Serah, which is in the Mount Ephraim, on the north side of the hill of Gash. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. And the Lord will bless his word to us this morning. Whether you agree with me or not, I think that there's not the same leaders in the world today than there was in previous time. I think that the world today needs leaders badly, good leaders. Leaders filled with wisdom, godly leaders. We think of our political situation, the presidents and the prime ministers that occupy our countries. They're hard to know which one you would put at the top of the list, isn't it? You think of leaders in business and commercial and different things, leaders. When we come to the Bible, we read of great leaders. One of the greatest leaders that ever lived was the man Moses. There's no doubt about that. He was the man who God had chose to take out his children from the land of Egypt, to lead the children of Israel across the Red Sea and into the Promised Land. We know the story. And it's not so much Moses that I want to think about this morning. I want to think about Joshua. My mind has been on chapter 24, and that great verse 15 in the week or so that's passed. Choose ye this day whom ye will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And as I began to look at that verse for this meeting this morning, this man emerged out of Scripture to me, Joshua. What a mighty, mighty man he was. He was a leader, a born leader. Joshua's name means Yahweh is my salvation. Jehovah saves. There's salvation in his name, in Joshua's name. And he was the one who God had approved and picked to come on after Moses and lead these great people, these 2 million people, right into the promised land. When he comes onto the pages of Scripture, at first he comes on the pages of Scripture in round about Exodus chapter 17. You remember when Moses goes up to the top of the hill and Joshua, he's just a young man, he's a soldier, and he's down in the battle there and he's fighting the Amalekites. You remember the story how Moses, when he held up his hands, how the children of Israel prevailed. And then when he dropped them and they got sore and cramped as they fell, well then the Amalekites prevailed. You remember how Aaron and Hur, wasn't it, went and held Moses' hands up. And Joshua and the soldiers prevailed and won the great battle. But when we come to Numbers chapter 27 and verse 18, God speaks to Moses. And here's what he says. He says, take Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is spirit, and lay your hand upon him. Bring him to Eleazar the priest, and lay your hands upon him. Joshua was chosen of God. He served on the battlefield. He spied in the land of Canaan before he followed and before he took over from Moses. He was a mighty man of God. He was a born leader. Abraham Lincoln said, a leader is one who knows, one who goes, and one who shows a way. That's good. That was Joshua. He was one who knew, one who went, and one who showed the way. Moses was a son of Nun. He was a slave in Egypt. He was a servant of Moses. He was a soldier in the army. He was a spy in Canaan. He was a savior by name. He was a statesman and he was a saint. Joshua. I want us to think very simply this morning in the time that we have of five things. I want you to think, first of all, about the leader he followed. The leader he followed. Moses, of course, was born in Egypt. He was born, well, not primarily in the place of privilege. Remember the great story of Moses and how the law went out that all the babies would be killed. And so, do you remember Moses' mother, how she carefully ordered an ark of bulrushes and placed them in the River Nile? And as Pharaoh's daughter come down to bathe in the Nile River, you remember how the little ark, well, it just floated in the right place at the right time. Amazing, isn't it? God's providence. God sent a little breeze at the right time. That little ark of bulrushes would just be right where Pharaoh's daughter was having her bath. It's amazing. He's the God of the big things. Ah, but he's the God of the wee things, isn't he? And Miriam, Moses' sister, ended up getting paid for looking after her own brother. Sure, how? Nobody else could walk out, only God. And Moses was brought up in the palace of Pharaoh. He was brought up in the great place of privilege, the pomp, the ceremony. And yet Joshua was born into a slave household in Egypt. He hadn't the same privilege as Moses had. He served, his father Nun served as a slave to the Egyptians. You remember when Moses was 80 years of age, how on that great night, the night of the Passover, the night that the angel of God passed through the land of Egypt, how on that occasion, how the children of Israel left Egypt. And I was thinking of that particular night, how Moses went out and he come out of the land of Egypt. The angel of God had passed through and many had died. And there was tragedy and there was sorrow in the land of Egypt. And as they headed out that night, those 1.5 million people or so headed out of Egypt that particular night, I was wondering where Joshua was. Maybe just a wee boy, you know. Trying to walk it back in my mind. Maybe 10 years of age, something like that. Maybe I'm wrong. And this wee boy was heading out of Egypt that night. What an experience for him. Following his family, his father, Nun, his mother, his family as they headed out. Shoes on their feet, their coats on their back, their staff in their hand. And Joshua ended up following Moses through the desert for 40 years. For 40 years. The cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. Imagine that. Imagine him going over the Red Sea and dry land. Imagine him being there when Moses come down the mountain with the Ten Commandments in his hand. Imagine the wee boy being there when Moses struck the rock. And all these great experiences, God was carving him and molding him for the next big job. And there, this young man, Joshua, who God had his eye on, he learned from the older man. He listened to the older man. He got education from the older man. I mean, that's a good occupation for young men and for young women to do. For us, younger people, us, to look at the older ones, to learn from them. They have a wisdom sometimes that years and trials and problems of life have brought them. And as we stand back and as we watch them and we see their testimony and the way that they behave and the way that they act, how much we can learn from them. Godly people. People who know their God. People who encourage us. And I say it as I was sitting this morning thinking about this. I was just thinking about, we have older people. And then we have middle-aged people. And I'm just going to cut to the chase. If you're about 35, the Bible says 70. So you divide it in half, that's 35. So you're middle-aged when you're 35, whether you like it or not, or whether I like it or not. That's where we're at now. And then you have the younger people. And the younger people watch the middle-aged people. And the middle-aged people watch the older people. That's the way it works. And so, I'm middle-aged. I don't like it, but I'm middle-aged. I wonder, as the young couples watch us, the young couples in our church watch me, watch my wife, watch my family. And then as I, in turn, watch the older people, the older men, watch their ways and watch their families, do they learn from us, from me, and I learn from them? So what people ought we to be in the church? You know, I go back to my grandmother's home again. And the old preachers, the old brethren preachers used to come. I was a wee boy. And I think of men, I was thinking of names this morning. I was thinking of men like, these names mightn't mean anything to you. But I think of men, there was a man in the brethren called Jim Hutchison, who was a good preacher of the Word of God. There was a man from this town used to come, Stevie Livingstone. There was a man, I think he's still alive, Jim Owl, and Reggie Jordan, and men like this. And I was only a wee boy, and yet I noticed them. There was something about them, you know. They come in their suits and all. And Stevie Livingstone always used to bring us sweets. Used to leave sweets in my grandmother's for us. Well, it wasn't much, mind you, like, when you think of it. But his name's still in my mind, 40 years later. And in turn, as the generations of time go on, the leaders come and the leaders go. And here's a young man, and he's following Moses now. He's took an example from this older man. So as we leave this point this morning, as our time goes on, the leader that he followed, what an example, what an occupation for us, for those coming behind us, for those younger now. No matter what set of steps you're on, the example that we followed, the leader he followed. I want you to think about the baton that he took, the baton he took. Now Moses had died, and they had went the way of all the earth. It's interesting that that God, the only thing God told Moses to do concerning Joshua was to encourage him. He said, bring him to Eleazar the priest. He says, I have watched him. He says, he's my man. But he said three times in Exodus, he says to Moses, encourage Joshua. Encourage him. Nothing more now. This lad had learned what he needed to learn by following the man. All Moses' job was to encourage him. And so, as we watch the race, you know, I'm sure you watch the race on the television, on the Olympics and so on. And when the baton is being handed in the relay race, the runner is running. I'll not demonstrate this morning. But the runner is running. And his friend then, his comrade, his colleague, is waiting. And when he sees his friend coming running with the baton out, he begins to run as well. And the two men, or the two women, they get up to their same speed. And then the baton is held out. And in a moment or so, the baton's grabbed. And the runner goes on. And his friend drops back very quickly. He drops back. And it's as if the television camera, he goes on the man that's running now, and his friend that has given him the baton, he has paled into insignificance in a way. It's all about the runner now. His friend, he has took it so far, and his job's finished. And now it's up to the runner. And so, Moses, he gives the baton to Joshua. You know, we live in days in the business world about one of the great buzzwords at the minute is succession planning. Talk about succession planning. And there's all plans. You know, people talk about a 20, 25 plan, a 5-year plan, a 10-year plan, and all so on in business. And we seem very focused in our business sometimes about succession plans. And yet sometimes in the Church of God, we don't think about the man who's coming after us. And so we need to look, as elders, as deacons in this assembly, we need to look out for younger men. Men who are capable to teach. Men who are capable to preach and to speak and to serve the Lord. Maybe you asked me this morning, how do you do it? Well, I'll be truthful. It's one of the job of an elders. It's actually very easy to spot younger men coming through. Younger men who dedicate themselves to the Word of God. Young men who dedicate themselves to prayer and the knowledge in the Word. It begins to shine out of them very easily, actually. And very easily, sometimes in the assembly, young men begin to emerge. There has been men on this platform in the past few weeks, and they have ministered and preached the gospel, and they have done more than well. They have spent a lot of time in the Word. It's evident when they begin to minister how long they have spent in the Word. And younger men begin to step up to the plate. Thank God for young men who take that on themselves. And thank God for men who encourage us. People, men and women, who encourage us. I have probably received in my lifetime more encouragement from sisters than men. I remember the first time I ever preached. I went with my dad to Scotch Street Gospel Hall. It's just on the Moy Road out of Portadown on Sunday night. And I was 15 years of age. And in the Brethren, there's two preachers sometimes. There was a good job. There was two there that night. And I remember getting up onto the platform that night and sitting beside my dad. I was only 15. And boy, I had some stuff put away. Like. And I got up and I spoke a word. And I sat down. And when I looked at the clock, it took me 4 minutes. But there was people who encouraged me. And my dad never said to me, son, you didn't do that well. Or you should have said this and you shouldn't have said that. People who encourage you. People who encourage you. Now they can't get me stopped. I wonder, are we encouragers? Barnabas' name means encouragement, doesn't it? And I wonder, do we thank people for the time and the effort that they put into the Word? And as we serve God, sometimes we serve God and it's not recognized. And sometimes there's wee jobs done in the kingdom of God that you're not thanked for. And sometimes when you come off the platform, somebody says, that was a great word, or you preached the gospel well tonight, and that's great. But what about the lads that sit at the sound desk all the time? Nobody ever taps them on the shoulder and says, hey, thanks for the job you're doing. What about the ladies and the fellas that play the piano and the organ and give us beautiful and wonderful music as we worship the Lord? Anybody ever tap them on the shoulder and say, hey, thanks for your ministry? The boys that are upstairs and put the sermons over, sermon audio, and different wee services for the Lord. And there was people before who done the job, and they have took the baton. The leader, he followed. The baton he took. The charge he led. When he headed into Jericho, of course, when he headed into the Promised Land, the first city was Jericho. We're having time this morning. He walked, do you remember, the walked around the city every morning for 6 mornings, and then on the 7th morning, the seventh morning, they walked around 7 times, and they blew the trumpet, and they gave a shout, and the walls came a tumbling down. Amazing. Archaeologists have found that the walls didn't fall that road, but they fell that road. The fountains opened, and the walls fell down. It's an archaeological fact that the walls of Jericho fell down. the come to Ai, the son of Achan. For 7 years, this man led this great charge, a charge he led 7 years. He defeated 31 kings. He conquered the cities and the territories on the land on the west of the Jordan. 7 years after that, then he oversaw the dividing of the land between the 12 tribes of Israel. He divided out what wisdom this man, as he negotiated and as he listened to the call of God in his life, he divided the land into 12. Wouldn't have been easy. What a warrior. What a leader. Man uses men today to lead, not only in life in different situations, but in an assembly like this. And this morning, I've read the names out of 13 new deacons. And we need to support them. And we need to encourage them. And we need to encourage our elders and our Sunday school teachers and those that are in ministry. Because it's very easy to get tired sometimes in the work of the Lord. And it's very easy sometimes to get discouraged and get almost depressed and down in the work of the Lord. And sometimes our energy levels get low. Those of us who work all day and then study at night for meetings, and our energy levels get low, and we just need God to give us extra strength. I have talked to two fine Christians this week, whom I love and respect. And they've both told me of how they're just a wee bit weary now in the work of the Lord. And it's easy to get weary in the work of the Lord. And sometimes, someone told me this, that sometimes we get so busy in the work of the Lord that we forget the Lord of the work. You listening to me now? Sometimes we get so busy in the work of the Lord that it's easy to forget the Lord of the work. The Lord Jesus was weary. John chapter 4. Do you remember he come into Samaria and it was warm, it was noonday. And he sat on the well at Sychar, and it says that he was weary with his journey. Not only the journey that he had made into Samaria, but maybe the journey in general, he was weary. And the lady came and she said, give me a drink, give me a drink. And she said, why do you ask me for a drink? You're a Jewish man and I'm a woman of Samaria. And here's a woman, and men for years had used her and abused her. And now she had met the perfect man. And he says, listen. He says, I'll give you a drink. And when I give you a drink, you'll never, never thirst again. And as I thought about that this morning, you know, if we were just to get into this a wee bit more, and if we were to drink the water of the living God, the water that God gives us, he completely satisfies. I picked up this poem this morning. When the road is rough and steep, fix your eyes upon Jesus. He alone has power to keep. Fix your eyes upon Jesus. Jesus is a gracious friend, one on whom we can depend. He is faithful to the end. Fix your eyes upon Jesus. The leader he followed, the baton he took, the charge he led, the decision he made. When we come to chapter 24, Joshua now, he knows God has told him, Joshua, I'm going to take you home. And Joshua stands on the hill at Shechem. And I love this, you know, he stands, and I watch him, maybe 2 million people standing before him, and there was no mics, and there was no PA systems, and there was no screens or anything like that. And he stands on the top of the hill, and he begins to tell the children of Israel all that God has done for him. He goes way, way back to the start, to the father of the nation, to Abraham. And how Abraham and Jacob and Esau and Isaac and how they ended up in Egypt and how God took them out of Egypt. And here they are now, they're right at the promised land, and God has divided the country up into 12 pieces. one for each tribe. And it's the last time, perhaps, that they're all going to be together. And I'm sure there was a lot of emotion there now. People had made friends and families, and they were all going to go their own way now. They're going to split into 12 and go their own way. And he gives them a bit of advice, and here's what he says. He says, "Choose ye this day whom ye will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." I want you to think of this personal. As for me. Personal. It's 2020. Christmas is over. We're into the new year. And I wonder, have you decided to follow the Lord in 2020? Oh, I guess so. We're saved, we went back for years. We're saved 20 and 30 and maybe somebody 40 years. But I wonder this year, have you decided to follow Jesus? Can you say this morning, as for me? It's personal. I wonder, have we dedicated ourselves to him? I wonder how long the quiet time is. 5, 10, 15 minutes. I'm speaking to myself now, nobody else. And you, but I'm speaking primarily to myself. You get so busy in life that you give the Lord 5 minutes in the morning, 5 minutes at night. The Word of God, the local church, time and prayer. We have just finished a week of prayer in this assembly. It was a good way to begin the new year, to be in the Lord's house every night for a week. Every prayer meeting was good, but I wouldn't have wanted to miss Friday night. There was the Spirit of God in this house on Friday night. I felt as we prayed and as our brethren and our sisters prayed for the year that lies ahead. It's personal. As for me. I want you to think that it's parental. As for me and my house. Parental. How we're bringing up our children and our grandchildren this morning. Do you remember Paul said about Timothy? He says, "From a child, Timothy, you knew the Holy Scriptures, and they were making you able to make you wise unto salvation." And Paul recognized that Timothy had been brought up in a godly home. We don't know much about Timothy's father, but we know that his mother and his grandmother, Eunice and Lois, taught him the Holy Scriptures. I wonder, do we read them Bible stories at night and not Harry Potter? I wonder, do we say grace, thank you to the Lord, as we sit down to our dinner at night? All these wee things matter. I wonder, do we bring our children to church? It's great to see the children here this morning and in all our services. It really is. And I want to encourage you at the start of another year to bring your children to church. Charles Swindle says, if children aren't crying, the church is dying. Whether you agree with him or not. But it's good. And bring your kids to church. And if they whimper a wee bit during the service, the boys that's speaking and preaching are used to it enough. Now, if they create a racket, you can take them out. And we have great deacons here, and deacons will go to the door and they will help you to take them out. There's not a problem. But I want to encourage you this morning to bring the kids with you. That's what the church is for. God has entrusted them to you, your family, and to us as a church family. And our responsibility is to teach them the Word of God. And we can't do it if they're not here. And so I want you to pray at the beginning of a new year for our Sunday school superintendent and his wife, how dedicated they are, to our Sunday school teachers, our JYC leaders, for those that speak on a Sunday morning to the boys and girls, for the Good News Club leaders, for the BYF leaders, for the Mums and Tots leaders, for the Crash leaders, Because every one of them's desire is that every child that comes through the door of Orchard would be saved and grow to be a great man or woman of God. There is those in here this morning as I look around, and the minister and the work with CEF and different organisations, and they're teaching the Word of God to children and to teenagers. So it's personal. As for me, it's parental Aunt May House. We will serve practical. Do we serve the Lord? Our time's gone practically, financially, prayerfully. There's practical things. Do we visit the sick in their homes and in the hospital? The elders are busy. The deacons are busy. If you remember the church, if someone's that you sit beside usually in church is sick, go and see them. Take a few minutes. And we do our best. It's practical. So it's personal as for me. Parental on my house. Practical, we will serve. Priority, the Lord. We'll do it for the Lord. After all that he has done for us. He hung on a cross at Calvary for 6 hours. He gave his life as a ransom for us. He bore in his own body on the tree our sin and our shame and our sorrow. Alone on Calvary. And it's only one life, and it'll soon be passed. And it's only what's done for Christ the last. I wonder, will you be like Joshua this morning? As for me, choose ye this day whom ye will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The leader he followed, the button he took, the charge he led, the decision he made, lastly, and we're done, the legacy. The legacy left. What words these are. Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua. This isn't said about any other man in the Bible. And which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done in Israel. Here's a man, and he served the Lord with such vigor and enthusiasm, and he had all the qualities of a great leader. And so when he died, the elders that outlived him and their families worshipped and followed the Lord all their days as well. Such was the influence that this one man had on these people. Matthew Henry says, as a bright meteor on a dark sky, there remains a light after it has departed. So it was. With this mighty man. He left the scene of time, and yet his name, his witness, his testimony, his enthusiasm stuck with the people that outlived him. What about our legacy? We're good at, and there's nothing wrong with it, we're good at leaving legacies for our children. Pension schemes, insurance policies, ISAs, wills, saving pots. There's nothing wrong with that. We should do it as our duty, as parents and grandparents. But what about the legacy in our church? What about our children? What about our church? What about our community? What about our congregation? I wonder, will our name be mentioned long after we are gone? That's the challenge this morning. And when God takes us home, those that outlive us, I wonder, will they look back to our ministry, to our witness, to our teaching? Or I wonder, will we be like Joshua this morning? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. May God write his word on our hearts this morning. Our God and Father, we thank thee this morning for your word. We pray, O God, this morning.